Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the roving Mike takes a trip to see what food fans of the Whitecaps can expect this season. Today is Ash Wednesday. It marks the beginning of Lent, and we talk to guests from the Catholic Diocese of Grand Rapids. An upcoming workshop focuses on the connection between well-being and employee engagement. We get a preview. We talk to the new executive chef of Alora, and Hospice of Michigan calls for volunteers. We talk about how you can help.
The roving microphone got out and about. We had headed to the makers of the foods, maybe hopeful foods, all up for a vote for the Whitecap fan. That's you. Foodies gathered at Gordon's Food Service, catching up with those from the Whitecaps about why food matters, plus what's the process in choosing what you get to eat.
Matt Timmon, Director of Food and Beverage for the Whitecaps.
What's going on today?
We have our food cutting. We do it every year, and we get all our vendors to come together, show us all the new things that they have, and look at new concepts for our menus.
What is the bottom line? Are you choosing from this particular opportunity for all to gather what you'll be serving?
Kind of the bottom line is this kicks off our search, so we don't have to stay within this group, but they give us the kickoff and kind of the ingredients, and we put things together from this group of people, and we start putting our menu together.
And this is what we eat when we come to the game, right?
It is, yeah. This is what it's all about. We like the fun and the variety, and try to have something unique that everyone else doesn't have.
Dig more into what you do and the responsibility you have.
Yeah, my job is basically to bring the food and the people together to provide the entertainment and the service at the ballpark and through the food. So a big part of what we do is food, and that's part of the experience. And my job is to make sure people can get cool things at the ballpark to eat.
And over the years, what usually rises to the surface as far as what we want to eat, Matt?
Yeah, things that have wide span popularity that are, you know, everybody can enjoy. Every family member, you know, can try something. But something unique, something that's affordable, something that's fun, and something that we can actually make.
Dave Bomarito, and I'm with Rich Products.
What are you serving?
I have pizza balls, buffalo chicken balls, that's why I call them balls and strikes. I have dugout desserts, and there's a peanut butter and jelly one with powdered sugar, and then there's a s'more with graham crackers on top with chocolate.
How do you even start when you know you have this opportunity to present to Whitecaps? How do you even start to have the plan?
You want to find something that's easy to make, yet unusual and unique. And so I just thought, well, take an old favorite, pizza, and make it into a ball and call it something fun. And then same thing with desserts. I just use a sweet dough, and everybody loves s'mores and peanut butter and jelly. And I thought, well, that's a no-brainer.
Dugout desserts a day keeps the doctor away?
It sure does. Today it does.
Greg, I'm with Rizwood Sales, and I'm showing a dessert with this New York tall cheesecake. And what we did is we blended it up. We actually put it in these little ice cream cones, and we drizzled over this cone dip from Lyons and put some sprinkles on there to make a nice little dessert for somebody in a concession stand area. We did the same here, showing the cheesecake New York tall that we blended, drizzled the cone dip, and some raspberry frozen toppings as well. These are the five new donut holes that you can get through Gordon Food Service.
It's like a skewer.
Yeah, it is. It's on a skewer. There's some sprinkles on here. You have two different glaze, old-fashioned glaze, and a cinnamon. So these are all new dessert concepts that we're showing for Gordon Food Service.
How do you, what was the planning like for you?
The planning is we do a day of prep, which is done in our office in Grand Rapids, and then we actually have to design the concepts and think about that. Then we spend a day prepping, and then we come here and execute it the day of the show.
Look, you're already running out of samples.
Yeah, we have plenty more where that came from, and we're going to get some more.
David Lincoln, I'm the market manager for Rizwich Sales here in Michigan.
What are you serving up?
We are doing a number of different things. A Jones Dairy candied bacon. We took the bacon, candied it up, and wrapped it around a hot dog. A little pork. So Hawaii, you bury the whole pig underground and barbecue it there. It's wrapped in leaves. It's a thing. It's a whole process. But then we've made a great taco out of it on a flour and corn tortilla. So it's a little bit of a blend on both. Here we have a bacon and pork meatball because it's delicious. And it's just a great way to use some things. And then just if people wanted the candied bacon. cherry wood smoke, dry aged. It's really delicious.
Are we serving more meat at our events? Or are you just all about meat?
Well, there are a number of different items here that my company represents that happen to be meat providers or meat manufacturers. So there are things that we're doing here specifically. Over here, we do have a baked potato. A potato skin, and then we have a beef short rib in that. We're using meat in different ways, so it may not be the focus, but it certainly could be an important part of a meal, especially at a ball game. You're doing something celebration-wise, right?
I was just going to say, talk about the importance of food at a ball game.
Absolutely, yeah. People love good food for their celebrations. Going to the ballpark is one of those things where you really want to have great fun, you're with family and friends, and it's just interesting. So,
Bridget Lamro, account executive.
Emily Brenner,
account executive.
We work together, yes. Right? What have you prepared? Ninth inning Nashville dog? What's it about?
It's an Oscar Mayer wiener with a homemade Nashville sauce with Melinda's cayenne, and then pickles and coleslaw.
How'd you come up with the concept?
I mean, Nashville's a hot thing, and it's just normally on chicken, so we put it on a hot dog just to be fun.
And, how do you even think about what you're going to serve? I mean, I trust you've been to the Whitecaps, and you know what you eat. We want our meat.
Hot dogs, burgers, heck yeah.
And ninth inning Nashville dog. Anything else you'd like to share? We've got some macaroni.
It's a Euro mac and cheese. So we have the spicy feta in it with Euro meat. And it's a very thick sauce. And then you add this feisty feta, adds a certain flavor. And then you've got your pita chips with a dollop of tzatziki. It's unbelievable.
I'm looking at your shrimp, though.
Oh, yes. It's a shrimp adobo. It's a po' boy. So we put it on, and we just put it on a little bun, handheld. It goes very well.
What's your name, and what are you serving?
Hi, I'm Brooke Jensen. I'm with Hormel, and we can kind of go down the line here, but we have brisket burnt ends, and then we have our Italian sausage and Italian beef, and then we have our birria brisket tacos, and then we have our pulled pork shoulder, and then our walking chicken carnita tacos.
So. How do you know that these will sell at a Whitecaps game?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think all of these are just so flavorful and tender, where the flavor just really stands out with every bite that you take. And the presentation of it is just fantastic.
Funny, I was just going to ask, how much does presentation matter when I'm, in the fifth inning and I need a bite?
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things where you look at your meal and your eyes eat first, and then after you take a bite, it kind of follows from there. And I think presentation is everything in terms of being appetizing, so I think that's always a good part of it.
All right, which should I try?
I'd really recommend either the taco, or I think another popular one was the burnt ends at the end. So either of those would be good.
Or both.
Yeah, or both.
Name Tom Gatlin. I'm the sales rep with Affinity Sales.
I'm Corey Van Wagner, and I work for Smithfield Culinary.
And Darcy Rosley, I'm with Ajinomoto Foods.
What are you serving?
Today we've got a couple different protein options. We've got a pork shoulder burnt end that's on some french fries with some salt and vinegar cheese curds. We've got a beef barbacoa melt sandwich. And then we also have our jalapeno cheddar hot dog link.
How do you determine, Tommy, what that you're making? Where do you start?
Well, I think we're trying to find items that would be really popular with that crowd at the ballpark. And so we came up with these. We kind of gave them ballpark names. This is the extra inning burnt ends. And then the next one we have over here is the heat seeker, the fast pitch baseball for our smoked jalapeno sausage. And then this one is our barbacoa melt. So, yeah, trying to grab that ballpark fans' attention.
Darcy, no one seems to be serving salad.
Well, I'm sure there is salad here somewhere as you go down the line. Right here, though, we have a buffalo chicken mini empanadas and also a chipotle chicken mini empanada. Nice little handheld, bite size. It's creamy with chicken and buffalo sauce.
What is it about ballpark food?
You know what? It's just a place where everybody can go and have fun and try new and different things, and it's a comfort food.
Joe Chamberlain, CEO and Managing Partner.
Jim Jarecki, Vice President, General Manager.
What is this sea of food in front of us?
This is ballpark food, baby. Aren't you? Can you feel 70 and sunny yet?
No, I don't see salad, but that's okay. I don't want salad.
I ate a walleye nugget, and I loved it.
Are we here to perhaps sample what we're going to be sampling come season?
Yeah, I mean, we are testing this, really. A lot of the food vendors bringing out their product to say, what can we have new at the ballpark? Because we are all about the food, the fun, and the entertainment at the ballpark. And this is just a way to sample some of the stuff that fans will be able to come out to the ballpark and taste at LMCU Ballpark.
How's the season look there, Joe?
It looks really good. We had a great year in 2025. It's maybe the highest bar we've ever had, but we're going to go out there and try to win another championship and grow attendance and deliver for fans again. But we're feeling really good about it. Excited to get there.
You have a special food?
I'll tell you what. I just got here, so I'm going to look around and see what happens. But I guarantee you, come to the ballpark, you'll see it.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right.
Ash Wednesday is today. It's the beginning of Lent. Annalise Laumeier, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Grand Rapids, kind of an annual event we do. We'll catch you back in Easter. Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
All right. How big of a day is this for you and your family?
It is. It's a beautiful and also somber day for our church. Again, it's a reminder, but also a reminder of hope. And it seems odd that, as you're seeing Christians walking around with ashes on their forehead, that they can be a sign of hope. But again, it's our reminder to repent and believe in the gospel, to, kind of take stock of our life, take stock of where we're at in our relationship with God, and also find hope that he loves us and calls us back and continues to call us back.
Yes. And thank you. You've been to church this morning.
I have.
There we are. I guess let's get into, is Easter somewhat early this year?
This is on the earlier side. Was it 2 years ago? Ash Wednesday was actually on Valentine's Day. So it is on the early side, but not as early as it can be.
Let's talk about opportunities to grow in faith and community throughout this six-week period of Lent. Obviously, today an important day to stop by the church.
Absolutely. And we have masses throughout West Michigan. So churches throughout West Michigan have multiple masses or multiple Liturgy of the Word services with the distribution of ashes. There are a number that are right around that lunchtime hour, so if you want a good kind of midday break. And there's also a number of masses that occur after the workday, 5:30 to 7:30 at night. So there's definitely an option at a Catholic church near you. If you go to the diocesan website, grdiocese.org, we've put together an entire list for you, broken down by both county and city. And so there's definitely one near you. But outside of today, again, this is just the beginning of Lent. And so today is an important day. But again, this season goes for 40 days. And so it's an opportunity to, again, take stock of our relationship with God. Do we need more prayer? Should we spend time in adoration? Should we consider a Bible study? Again, how are we fasting? Is there something we can give up that, again, is giving us that creature comfort? It doesn't necessarily have to be food. Of course, we get the chocolate, the sweets, but again, it doesn't necessarily have to be food. Is your phone, taking away too much time from your family and from your faith life? Is it, using poor language and using, swear words? Is that something that's kind of, become too commonplace for you that is really inhibiting your relationship? And of course, we also give alms. And so that's a reminder to, again, go outside of ourselves. Maybe we're giving up that, Starbucks drive-through. And so can we use that $6-$7 and give to the poor, give to someone that, may have a greater need than us?
And it all ends on April 5th, right?
April 5th is Easter this year.
Or maybe it continues onward with the good work that we do in our lives. The diocese holds that annual event called The Light Is On For You. Let's talk about this.
This is a beautiful event. And it's right about kind of the midway to end point of Lent. But The Light Is On For You is our annual opportunity where, again, almost every church in the diocese is open for confession. And it is March 19th this year, 5 to 8 p.m. And so the idea is that, again, if you show up at a Catholic church, the light is on for you. And so there will be a priest in the confessional waiting to hear your confession. So again, whether you're a regular attendee, whether, again, this is your first time back in a number of years, we welcome you. Again, March 19th, 5 to 8 p.m., and more details are at grdiocese.org.
No reservation needed?
Absolutely not. Just patience.
Yes. At the end of Lent, the Catholic Church welcomes new members. How does this work? How many people do you anticipate joining the church?
We have a record number of people joining the Catholic Church this year. In West Michigan alone, so throughout our 79 churches in West Michigan, we have 546 individuals who will be joining the Catholic faith. This is our largest number since 2011. And so we are extremely excited to welcome all of these folks into the Catholic faith. They'll be officially becoming members at the Easter Vigil, which is the night before Easter. And so I invite you to join me in praying for them as they, you know, finalize their preparations and go through these last couple of weeks. But again, a record-breaking year for us again.
Youth involved with this?
Absolutely. Yes. All ages.
Nice. Important to praise. Annalise Laumeier, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Grand Rapids. Ash Wednesday's today, beginning of Lent. There is normally a lot of interest, and you know where I'm going with this, the fish fries hosted by Catholic parishes, of course, in schools. What's the tradition of this? What do you share about these events?
So Catholics don't eat meat on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and Fridays during Lent. We also fast completely on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. But the whole idea was that if you're not going to eat meat on Fridays, again, what's an alternative option? And so many years ago, Catholic churches and organizations started holding fish fries. And now they've kind of become synonymous with the season of Lent. But there's variations across Catholic churches, schools, and organizations. We have some as unique as St. Paul the Apostle, which does a Baja fish taco, kind of a Mexican theme with fish tacos. And we have the traditional old standbys of St. John Vianney, St. Alphonsus that have the good old Catholic fish fry. And we have actually put together a list of fish fries and soup suppers, grdiocese.org. And again, it is amazing how much interest there is in this. We had folks calling 2 weeks ago asking us when we were going to put the list together and put it up. And so I invite you to, again, go to our Catholic churches, go to our Catholic schools. The fish fries normally support a good cause, you know, whether it's for the school or for the church. So again, your ticket price for dinner is going to a good cause.
Yes. And that's open for all faiths.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Well, again, a big day. These days come and go, so put your all into this 6 week of time. Remind me of the good work of the Catholic Diocese of Grand Rapids.
grdiocese.org.
Annalise, a good day to you. Yes, can be a solemn day, so stay the course, and thank you for sharing your good words with us. Take care.
Thanks, Shelley.
There would be an upcoming workshop. You'll learn to connect between well-being and employee engagements, and we'll share some stats that might surprise you, talking to the best when it comes to this partnership. The Intentional Catalyst, that's you and yours, Tamela Spicer. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley. Great to see you again on this rainy day.
It is a rainy day, but it was kind of predicted.
Yes.
When you heard 100%, it's like, okay, there we are. Could be worse.
That doesn't mean I could find my umbrella.
Well, you look fine. Jill Vinn, we've talked before, we'll talk again. Now into Jill Vinn, VYN Coaching, involved in this collaboration. Hello to you, Jill.
Hi, it's so good to be back in the studio with you and with Tamela.
We did a bunch of conversation when it came to your disart.
Yes.
Yes, so thank you for that imprint. Think about Chris often, your colleague, and he would want us to move on and keep doing what we're doing.
He would.
Thank you. Tamela, good that you are here. And of course, Jill, you a coach. First of all, let me ask you, Jill Vinn, what is your coaching specialty?
Yeah, Thank you. So since, as you mentioned, I'm going to start with the nonprofit. I was a co-founder, co-director of nonprofit with Chris Smith, who you were referring to locally, DisArt. And so through that time, I cared very deeply about the organization, about the passion, about the mission. And I also experienced burnout. And so as I am partnering here with Tamala, that's the topic that we're really going to be focusing on, and well-being as leaders within that space. So my coaching is, it feels like this continuation of that work. I'm a leadership coach. I'm helping people move from self-doubt to self-trust so that they can live their personal lives and professional lives from a place of presence, from a place of confidence, and so much joy.
Tamala Spicer, remind us of the good work of the Intentional Catalyst.
Well, Shelley, the Intentional Catalyst has been around for about 3 years. We work with both nonprofits and funders. I always say I'm a philanthropy consultant, and people go, what's that mean? Because we associate philanthropy with those who give money. But philanthropy is really the entire ecosystem. So it's those who give money. It's also the nonprofit organizations putting that money to work in community. So at the Intentional Catalyst, we work with all of those organizations, and we try to help lead and guide them through change. I don't see my job so much as coming in and telling people what they need to do. I see my role as very much helping them discover. Because like Jill, it's that coaching, it's that leadership piece, and it's helping people sort of discover what I think they already have internally, but they just don't know how to articulate.
Nice. Jill, let's get into just the basics. Give me a description of the workshop. Does it have a name? And of course, when and where?
It sure does. It's Well-Being for Sustainable Leadership. So I like what Tamala just shared about discovery. And that's what we're going to be doing together on Thursday, March 12th from 9 to noon. It's at the Lake Michigan Credit Union corporate office. So we're super grateful that they're partnering and supporting this really important workshop for nonprofit leaders. So what I mentioned briefly was the sign of burnout. We want to support you if you're a nonprofit leader or you're noticing on your team or yourself that there are signs of burnout, signs of overwhelm, overfunctioning, and recognizing that this needs to be taken care of and talked about and supported so that because the organizations are at risk when we don't.
Yes. Why is this important, an important topic right now in your words, Tamala?
Well, I think most of us are probably feeling some angst over just the state of the world, right? There's so much going on, and there's Jill and I were just talking in the green room over here about sort of that underlying effect of our systems, that there's just this anxiety all the time. And we all wrestle with that, and it shows up in our workplace, and it shows up in the way that we come to work. There's been a lot of interesting research, particularly over the last 5 years. We're seeing a growing trend with nonprofit leadership that is burning out. Mm-hmm. Average life for an executive director at an organization is now anywhere from 18 months to 2 years, which is rough. And that's hard on an organization. It's hard for them to build sustainability when they're constantly having leadership transition. We also know that about 50% of nonprofit organizations right now are struggling to fill staff positions. People are leaving the sector because of burnout. People are struggling to find those places. Government funding has been cut. There's more stress on the sector. We're trying to do more with less, which seems like a common refrain for nonprofits. But we're feeling it differently right now. So we need to give people different coping mechanisms to think about how do they navigate this space.
Just to touch on, before I go back to you, Jill, over 90% of the nonprofit leaders were concerned about staff burnout, working from the belief, what, that burnout isn't it's not a capacity problem here.
Correct. And I really appreciated when Jill and I first started talking about working together on this, she sort of brought that language to me. And I really appreciated that language that so often we build capacity in our organizations. Funders are always looking at how do we build capacity. And I mean, I'm a capacity builder at heart, so I always think about that. But we tend to take on this responsibility that, oh, if I'm burned out, I must be doing something wrong. When in reality, it's about the systems that we have in place that are making it hard for us to properly align. And so I really appreciated the way that Jill sort of helped frame that up for this workshop, that this capacity isn't about, oh, if I could just do these three things, I won't suffer burnout. It's really looking at the systems that we have in place and how are we doing our work and how are our values aligned, how are our own personal needs aligned to the work that we're doing.
Thank you for that. Jill, what will participants gain from attending this March event?
Well, I believe what Tamela was referring to is awareness, first and foremost, like taking the time to come into a community with other nonprofit leaders, other people who are experiencing the pressures, the unprecedented pressures that Tamela is talking about, and with others who are passionate about their work, but they are like, can I continue? Can my teams continue? How do we continue? And so we're going to be focusing on getting clarity, this discovery of what is your role? Where is your magic, right? Is it aligned with what you're doing now? How are responsibilities? How are decisions being made? And how, when there is this misalignment and you don't have these sustainable systems designed for you and for the team that is currently in place right now, that the organization is at risk. And when organizations are at risk, well, the communities you serve are at risk as well. And so we want people to gain more awareness. We want people to have this understanding that self-sacrifice as a default is not the way we move forward, not the way that we can grow and sustain and support ourselves, our teams, and the organization. And then mostly is that this work in supporting leaders and supporting teams and supporting the humans behind the work is not separate from the mission. It's actually foundational to carrying it forward.
Who do you need in the audience, Tamela?
Well, obviously we would love nonprofit executives. We think a lot of the burden falls on an ED, and both Jill and I have sat in that chair, and we know the challenges. I always describe it as managing from the middle, because you're managing staff, but you're also partnering and managing a board. And where do you go? Where do you go for advice? Where do you go for, I'm struggling, I just need to vent, or whatever that case is? It's hard to find that place. So nonprofit executives, certainly. We also want to invite C-suite leaders. We know that program directors, development directors, particularly if they're managing a larger team, they're feeling some of that same burnout. We're seeing it across the sector. Leadership is tough, and leadership has always been tough. It's always been challenging. But in this environment, it's that much more challenging.
Jill, how long is the workshop again?
It's 3 hours, March 12th from 9 to noon. And we will be incorporating small and large group discussion, self-guided reflection, and play, which is a specialty that Tamela brings.
That's important. And you will go back and forth, and I'm sure there's probably some participation required.
Yeah. Always.
Okay. Yeah. Got to do it. All right. One more time. Jill, where do we find out more information?
At theintentionalcatalyst.com.
Tamela, why is this important?
It's important because we know that if we're going to do good work in community, we need to first take care of ourselves. And our communities need us to do that good work.
So does the world, don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Much to do before March, but I imagine this hopefully could be one of many moving into the future. Jill Vinn Coaching, how do we find out more about you?
At jillvinn.com.
The Intentional Catalyst, of course, Tamela Spicer, mm-hmm. both of you presenting this workshop on behalf of course, thanks to Lake Michigan Credit Union at their corporate headquarters and theintentionalcatalyst.com for more information. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks, Shelley.
Well, have you stopped by Alora? You better. Executive Chef Gregory, we call you Greg Jones, is waiting for you. He's bringing his coastal Italian firepower to our Grand Rapids. He has been. And of course, we catch up with you and, how things are going. How's that for an introduction? Executive Chef, we call you Greg Jones. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Next time we'll get you in studio and you can bring a sample of what you're serving with the wonderful Alora. Welcome to Grand Rapids. I imagine that phrase is old for you. You doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing okay so far. Been out here since November, right in time for the snow, but so far so good.
Well, Baltimore gets a little snow, yes?
Yeah, this year they had a lot too, from what talking to people back home. But yeah, it's pretty similar. It's a little colder and a little more snow out here, but it's pretty similar.
Well, it keeps you inside to make our tummies full. Let's do some 101s, if we may, before we get to you, Executive Chef Greg. Allora, Coastal Italian, where are you located? You are the new...
Yeah, we're right downtown, right next to the DeVos Place, right on Monroe, in between the DeVos Place and Lion Street.
Are you where Reserve used to be?
Yes.
Yes, so I am so glad that we now do offer your expertise as the executive chef of Allora. Does Allora mean something? Start there.
Allora means, it's kind of like a conversational piece. So it creates space in the conversation and, you know, where the idea is storytelling through the cuisine and the food. So it's, you know, it doesn't have an exact translation, but it might be like used for well, so,
nice,
or than, something like that, as a kind of a continuation of the conversation.
Yes, well, located, yes, right in the hub of our Grand Rapids as we're heading to the theater, the symphony, the opera, the, of course, ballet. We have so many arts, and I hope you're being exposed to that. So stop by Allora for a bit of a bite and or after. What brought you to our West Michigan? How did Allora bring your talents, Executive Chef Greg?
I was contacted based on kind of my background. I spent a little bit of time on the coast of Italy through a culinary internship I did, and then I've been working in high-end Italian cuisine in Baltimore for a number of years. So I was kind of tapped into for my expertise in that area. My family and I came out to visit the area while I was interviewing for the job, and we just really enjoyed the area, really liked it. And, you know, I have a little bit of family in Chicago, but, you know, we just kind of have been looking to relocate and really liked what we saw in Western Michigan. And the opportunity at Allora was a really cool, interesting opportunity to kind of make a mark with a fun new restaurant.
Yes, appreciate you. Yes, Baltimore's acclaimed Taliato, where you spent nearly 8 years rising from sous chef to executive chef, and glad that you were recruited to help Allora expand the appeal, elevate consistency, and I see without losing its soul. You are quoted, Chef Jones, as saying that this is a city, this meaning Grand Rapids, that cares about food. So how does that work in your vision with Allora?
Yeah, Grand Rapids seems to have a really interesting and dynamic food scene, a lot of different cultures and cuisines going on. So for me, it's about, you know, really highlighting the coastal Italian theme and the Italian regionality and kind of broadening, you know, what people may think of traditional Midwestern palates. And people seem really interested in, you know, trying new things and experimenting and really digging into, you know, the culinary scene as a whole.
Half a step back, Executive Chef, what is your role at this point, Greg Jones? Chef Jones, I trust you have a staff, and your job is to call most of the major shots?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a transition. We have some staff. We have a great staff in place, a really good team, you know, building upon what we, what's been established and just kind of taking it to the next level. So we just... tweaked the menu a little bit going into last week and changed some things up and kept some existing favorites of people that, you know, existing dishes that people really enjoyed and things like that, but kind of driving the menu into a little bit of a new direction and kind of broadening our offerings and, you know, composing some plates and making some things just really some memorable dining experiences.
I know Allora is known for its hospitality and maintaining the quality. Again, the location is a win-win. Are you having us experienced a refreshed happy hour? What's involved here?
Yeah, so we're trying to build up the happy hour business and build up that kind of like post-work little wind-down, trying to really tap into some classic Italian aperitivo type things where, you know, you can have a little Aperol spritz and a couple of little small bites and just kind of enjoy that kind of experience. But, you know, not your traditional, you know, half price wings and beer type of happy hour, but something a little bit nicer, a little bit more eclectic, and we're really excited about it. Hopefully, really going to see some good traction there.
Nice. Alora, of course, on your way to DeVos Performance Hall on the corner, not to be missed, welcoming executive chef Gregory Jones is bringing his coastal Italian firepower to our land. Talk to me a little bit about how you're working with, we head to your place for food and drink. What's happening on the drink side?
Yeah, we have a great team behind the bar. Justin and Adam have been longtime Grand Rapids bartenders, mixologists, whatever you prefer to call them. But they do a great job of kind of blending familiar flavors as well as classic Italian ingredients and really kind of making interesting and memorable drinks with some. We have a great selection of Italian aperitifs and digestives, amaros, really working on building out that Italian wine list as well as, you know, having things that people are really familiar with and comfortable with, but what we're trying to do is really create some unique experiences that you can't get anywhere else in Grand Rapids.
Yes, wonderful. All right, anything else you'd like us to know when it comes to getting to Alora as early as tonight for Coastal Italian?
Day through Saturday, we're there to serve you. Yeah, before or after any performance at the DeVos place, we're happy to have you, or any other day of the week that brings you downtown. Stop in for some great food and drinks and hospitality and try some of our fresh new ideas.
Wonderful. All right. You are the executive chef in town, Gregory Jones, bringing this coastal Italian firepower to Grand Rapids. Thanks for your time, Alora, with two L's, A-L-O-R-A. I'll ask for you and keep up your good work. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hospice of Michigan needing your help, specifically in the areas of Ionia and more. Muskegon, Whitehall, Ionia communities asking you to serve patients and families in need. Let's talk to you, Volunteer Program Manager Jody Vanderberg. Good morning to you, Jody.
Hi, good morning.
Appreciate you and glad that we can talk. Let's do some 101s. How strong is Hospice of Michigan in our Muskegon, Whitehall, and the Ionia communities?
It's extremely strong. We are always looking for additional volunteers. Our patient census is going up in these particular areas, and we are looking to be able to support our patients with some additional volunteers in the capacity of companionship, caregiver relief. I'm consistently looking for some veterans. The veterans end up doing some veteran pinning ceremonies. We always like to acknowledge our veterans that are on service as soon as they come on service. We also need some pets. Any volunteers that have some pets that have been certified in therapy, we are looking to bring those on as volunteers to help go into facilities where we have some patients and provide that little bit of comfort.
Let's dispel the myth about Hospice of Michigan. It's not all doom and gloom?
It is not doom and gloom. You know, many of our patients come onto our service at various different levels of care. And, you know, a lot of our volunteers, many of our volunteers, they are with a patient for a while. So they actually can develop a relationship and a friendship with them and truly be that companion to that patient. Many patients do not have family or even friends that live nearby or even at all. So, you know, having this human connection with another person that shows up maybe once or twice a month, you know, that patient really looks forward to those visits.
And does the volunteer also work with the family?
They do. The volunteer actually, if there is family available, the volunteer will work and communicate directly with that family to coordinate times that work best, specifically for caregiver relief. You know, a lot of our caregivers, you know, they're taking care of this loved one 24/7, and these individuals, you know, a lot of times are neglecting their own health and their own personal care, whether it be mental, physical. It could be a dentist appointment. It could be going to a doctor appointment. It could be going and having lunch with their best friend to just kind of decompress and take their mind off of, what they go home to 24/7 every day. Caregiver, the volunteers will communicate with those caregivers and arrange times to meet and come and relieve them and sit with their loved one while they go take care of themselves and recharge.
Thank you for that reminder. You are a nonprofit. You rely on volunteers to finish the sentence, if you would, to help ensure patients do feel what supported, connected, and valued during one of life's most vulnerable sessions here, Jody?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Our volunteers, what a lot of people don't know is that volunteering for hospice, it is a requirement. It doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit or a for-profit hospice. The Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, it's CMS, they have very particular guidelines, and those guidelines are that any agency that is providing hospice benefit to a patient, they offer a volunteer. The volunteer, the family and the loved one does not have to accept a volunteer. They can decline those services, but they do need to be offered as a part of their plan of care. That's why it is so important that we have volunteers with our agency that can provide that extra support.
Talking about your need to volunteer, especially in the areas of Muskegon, Ionia, and Whitehall, with us volunteer program manager at Hospice of Michigan, Jody Vanderberg. Jody, what's the training involved?
Yeah, the training is pretty simple. We do have to get a fingerprint. We do have to do a background screen, and you do have to have a TB test, but our agency pays for all of that. And then we set up some time to talk, and I provide some additional training that is completely self-paced. You can do it yourself at home at your leisure. And then we make a time to connect, and we go over some of the most important things. And we also provide additional training throughout the year with some lunch and learns. We treat our volunteers very well, but we try to educate them and provide all the tools that they need to be able to go out into the community and volunteer successfully.
Yes. And you mentioned time commitment is minimal?
Yes, it is minimal. We leave it up to the volunteer to decide when they can go and how often that they can go. There is suggestions based on the clinical team. We'll communicate to us, you know, what they're recommending. If this patient would benefit from seeing a companion volunteer twice a month. So we do ask that the volunteer can maybe try to meet that frequency of meeting that patient twice a month. But we let that volunteer work with that patient and that patient's family on a good time to go and visit. Many of our volunteers work during the day, so evenings or weekends work best for them. And then we have people that don't work during the day, so they obviously try to do those visits at that time and leave their weekends and evenings free. It's very flexible.
Yes, good, because flexible is key to fulfilling both needs. And back to that last question that you've somewhat touched on, what does the volunteer get from this experience?
Oh, you know what? It fills their cup. They walk away feeling like they have given back to their community and a sense of fulfillment. And on top of that, you know, you're educating yourself. Many of us will at some point get familiar with hospice, whether it be with a loved one, a neighbor, a family friend. But you will encounter hospice and, you know, becoming a hospice volunteer, we can educate you and prepare you to be able to provide those best support services that you can as even just a friend or family member.
Okay, action items. Hospice of Michigan seeking volunteers to provide companionship and support for hospice patients, specifically Muskegon, Whitehall, Ionia communities, wonderful communities. How do I find out more information? Sign up.
Yes, go to our website, hospiceofmichigan.com/volunteer, fill out an application, and you will hear from me within 24 to 48 hours.
happen. Make it happen. Change your life and someone else's. Jody Vandenberg, thank you very much. Volunteer Program Manager at Hospice of Michigan. Take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Charles Dickens, reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, man slash woman, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men slash women have some. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good day. I'm Shelley Irwin.